Good morning. Welcome to our worship service on this third Sunday in Advent, the Sunday of Joy. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we glorify you for preserving us in this life and for sending your Son to be our Savior. O Jesus, Son of God, we praise you for the salvation you won for us on the cross. O Holy Spirit, we thank you for bringing us to life through faith. Come to us, strengthen us, keep us, and work mightily in us through the word in our worship today. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Savior of the Nations, Come. I invite you to stand for the last verse. Serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and have deserved only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sins and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life, innocent death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in him, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are his own dear child. May God give us the strength to live according to his will. Responsibly on page 5. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the Mighty One, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. he will rejoice over you with singing. Our second reading for today is from Luke chapter 1. We'll read verses 26 through 45. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. This reading from Luke chapter 1 comes immediately before our sermon text for today. This is the account of the angel Gabriel announcing the birth of Jesus to Mary. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it.
Thank you.
Grace to you in peace. In the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to whom we give our praises and songs, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Luke chapter 1. We'll continue the reading from that chapter with the words of Mary in her song, also known as the Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. If we're going to do an Advent series on Christmas traditions, that list has got to include Christmas carols, Christmas songs. There are few things that put you in the Christmas spirit, so to speak, like Christmas carols do. All it takes is a few verses of O Holy Night or Joy to the World, and we're filled with that unique joy that only our Christmas celebrations can bring. Some radio stations play exclusively Christmas music starting the day after Thanksgiving up through Christmas. We listen to Christmas carols as we do our daily tasks, maybe decorating the house. I tend to listen to instrumental Christmas music when I'm doing my bulletins and sermons, and I really enjoy this time of year because of that. We share that Christmas joy by singing Christmas songs and Christmas carols in our worship services, and sometimes even go Christmas caroling to share that with others. The joy of Christmas is a unique joy that we usually only feel in our hearts this time each year. And Christmas carols have that unique way of filling our hearts with that joy and then sharing that with those around us. One might even say that singing Christmas carols is the best way to spread Christmas cheer. If you had to pick a favorite Christmas carol or Christmas song, which one would you say is your favorite? I'll give you a moment to think. There's quite a few to choose from. I would probably give a list of the top three and kind of ask out of the question. But think about your favorite Christmas song, your favorite Christmas carol, and think about why it is your favorite. What makes it your favorite? What makes you want to sing it and hear it year after year? Even with just music in general, not just with Christmas songs. What is it that makes a song a timeless classic? One that you actually enjoy listening to over and over again, year after year, singing it over and over, and still enjoy it, not just get sick of it after you hear it once or twice? Well, usually it's a combination of several things. I think two main ones are this. The song has to have some depth, both musically and lyrically. Can't just be a catchy tune with an equally catchy set of lyrics and repetitive refrain. The song has to say something meaningful, and it has to reflect that meaning. And secondly, I think the song has to mean something to you. The words have to speak maybe to your situation in life or touch your heart in some sort of personal way, and then you will want to hear that song over and over again. Well, the song that Mary's heart sings to the Lord, as you notice, it does say that she says these words. We often call it Mary's song, but it doesn't appear that she actually sang these words, but we have. The song that her heart sings to the Lord in this text is one of these timeless Christmas classics. It was first spoken by Mary over 2,000 years ago, but it has been enjoyed and sung by Christians as a hymn of praise, even to this day. The early Christian church named that song the Magnificat, since it's the first word in Mary's song in the Latin translation of the Bible. Magnificat means magnifies. It's a word of praise, sort of like the word glorify. They sung this song as part of their daily evening Vesper services. And if you return to page 231 in the hymnal you have in front of you, the LSB hymnal, you would see that the Magnificat is still a part of the Vesper service in that hymnal. It's a part of the old Lutheran hymnal and many other Lutheran hymnals as well. If you were paying close attention, we sung a different song in place of the Gloria today. It was a song based on these words of Mary, the Magnificat. And we'll sing one more hymn today based on these words as well. What makes this song of Mary a timeless classic? What gives it its staying power? Well, pretty much for the same reasons I gave earlier. This song has depth. It is meaningful. And secondly, this song means something to us. It speaks to us, touches our hearts in a very important and personal way. This song is so important and so personal, in fact, that we could say Mary's song is our song. Our souls magnify the Lord, and our spirits rejoice in God, our Savior. And how much more do we think about rejoicing and praising the Lord, especially at the time of this season, Christmas and Advent? Now, it's true, our situations in life are not exactly the same as Mary's was. In fact, no one else in history, no one in the history of the world had the exact same situation like Mary's. However, her reasons for magnifying the Lord and rejoicing in God, her Savior, were the same as ours. Mary gives the first reason for her joy in verse 48. She says, "He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant." God in his grace looked on this young virgin, Mary, a nobody from the backwater town of Nazareth in Galilee. He looked on her with favor, with his grace. She wasn't the daughter of a king or a prince or some other high-ranking official. Some scholars believe that she was quite young, probably a teenager, maybe as young as 14. She was, in her own words, a maidservant. A humble young woman betrothed to another nobody of Nazareth, a carpenter named Joseph. Well, all of this ordinariness of her life quickly changed with the announcement from the angel Gabriel that she, a virgin, was about to be with child, and that child would be the Son of God, the Savior of the human race. The blessing that God was about to give her was why Mary rightly prophesied, "For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed." Think of how this good news changed Mary's day-to-day life. Not only was she about to experience the unexpected joy of having a baby boy, but this child would be the Messiah that her people had been looking forward to for some 4,000 years. Imagine her joy. The rush of thoughts and emotions that must have been flooding her heart and mind after she heard the words from the angel Gabriel. That's why Mary expresses her joy in the fullest way possible, by declaring, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." This praise from Mary was spirit-inspired praise that couldn't even be expressed properly with just her lips, but had to be with her inmost being, her soul, and her spirit. For the same reason, our souls magnify the Lord. Our spirits rejoice in God, our Savior. Obviously, none of us are about to be the mother of Jesus, but just like Mary, God has regarded our lowly state, our humble state. And what a lowly state we were in. We weren't just nobodies. We were spiritually dead bodies. We had no goodness within ourselves. We had no hope for salvation. That is why God had to guard our lowly state. He remembered us. He saved us and gave us his promises. As Mary says in our text in verses 54 and 55, he has helped his servant Israel. Remember, when you hear Israel, Jerusalem, Zion, those are words for God's people, the believers of the Old Testament. We are, in a spiritual sense, Israel, God's people. So he has helped God's people, Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. In his limitless mercy, God himself reached down to mankind with his son Jesus and helped us from our helpless situation of sin and damnation. He not only sent his son Jesus to save us by his perfect life and sacrifice on the cross, he also, by his grace, has caused us and moved our hearts to believe this good news, so that by faith we are among God's people. We are Israel in a spiritual sense. We are, by faith, spiritual seeds of Abraham. Think of how that good news should change our daily lives, much like it changed Mary's. Above and beyond this greatest of all gifts that God has given us in Christ, God has also given us many reasons to magnify him, to rejoice that he is our God. He's not some detached deity that's way out there in the heavens somewhere, going to bring us to heaven eventually someday to be with him, but for now he's way off. No. He's a God who is right here with us right now and wants to continue to be with us forever, on into eternity. Therefore, he is a very practical God. He is a God of the here and now, a God of this life as well as the next. A God who has blessed us many times over in the lives that we live here on this earth and will do so forever into eternity. When Mary looked back at her own life, she couldn't help but proclaim, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me." And then as she looked back in the history of her people, God's chosen people, Israel, she also praised God and said, "His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm." From the Exodus from Egypt to King David's mighty kingdom, to his proclamation of the birth of his own son to Mary herself, it was very clear that God had, throughout history, helped Mary and helped his people, Israel, in remembrance of his mercy. As citizens of God's spiritual kingdom, we can look back at our own lives and throughout the history of God's people. We can also sing, like Mary, "God has done great things for me." For us. As a church, God has given us a few centuries worth of unprecedented freedom in our country and peace to spread the gospel. He's made it available in more places and in more ways than ever before in the history of the world. Even with this economic downturn that we're facing and the gloom and doom that we hear so often about in the news, we must also admit we are a nation of incredible prosperity and wealth. As individuals, we have comforts and conveniences that we enjoy every day that are beyond what even the wealthiest kings in history could have ever fathomed or imagined. And yet we should rest our hearts on none of these things. Not on the strength of our church or our nation or ourselves. For as Mary's words indicate, God works in contrasting ways. If we boast and take pride in our Christian heritage, in our Lutheran heritage, the fact that we are maybe a multi-generational Lutheran ourselves, we read that God has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. If we trust in the power and might of our military, our economy, and our country, Mary's words remind us he has put down the mighty from their thrones, and he has exalted the lowly. If our focus in life is on self, on us, and all the stuff that we can get for ourselves, verse 53 reminds us, He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. On the other hand, Mary's words remind us that those who humble themselves under the Word of God, and humble themselves in the best way, acknowledging their sinful, lowly state and their inability to save themselves, the Lord will exalt those people. Those who hunger and thirst after God's Word and His righteousness will be filled with the bread of life and the water of life. These great gifts have been given to us through Mary's Son, Jesus. He was sent to exalt us from the lowly state of sin, unbelief, and death itself, to eternal life in heaven with Him because of what He did. Because of His perfect life, He lived in our place. Because of the innocent sacrifice He made for our sins on that cross, and His glorious rising from the dead, which guarantees us that we will be exalted with Him forever in our heavenly home on the last day. So as we sing our carols and our praises to our King this Advent and Christmas season, I hope that they will bring us joy once again. I pray that when we, like Mary, sing our Christmas carols and songs, we also think about and praise God for all that He's done for us personally in our lives, both physically and spiritually. And may we join in Mary's song. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For He has regarded my lowly state. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
several prayer requests for today. We pray first for Mark's sister Ruth. She had experienced a minor stroke and has been hospitalized there, waiting for a room in a rehab facility to help her recover. We pray for her healing and also for her calm, and to the Lord, for the Lord to give her an easement to her anxiety as she looks toward the future. We also give thanks and praise to God, as well as ask Him for healing for some of our brothers and sisters in Christ at our Sacramento group. Many of you may have remembered Steve Rainbolt. He lived in Sunnyvale for a while and was a painter, I believe, at Lockheed Martin. He has been in the hospital for a while and has now been diagnosed with a rare form of lymphoma of the tear duct. He goes in for scans tomorrow, and they'll make their treatment based on those results. So pray for Steve. We also pray for Joy from our group in Sacramento. She changed her name to Joy 23 years ago on this Sunday, the Sunday of Joy, and she has also been sick and is facing a difficult decision as to whether to go in the hospital today, and she's getting some advice from her doctor. So we pray for her today, as well as Steve and Mark's sister Ruth. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord God, we come before you with joy on this special Sunday of Advent, thanking and praising you for the life and health and strength that you've given to Joy throughout her life. We ask you to be with her, give her guidance, and give her direction as she is facing an illness, and ask for your direction as to what to do. Guide and direct her footsteps as you have so richly in the past, and give her healing according to your will. Lord, we also pray for our brother Steve Rainbolt, who has had a very difficult diagnosis of lymphoma. We ask you to bless the treatment that he is undergoing, bless the scans and tests tomorrow, that they would be able to give him effective treatment, and if it's your will, Lord, remove that illness and give him complete recovery and healing. Be with him in his anxious moments, and help him to remember that you are right there with him, guiding and directing him through this as his good shepherd and friend. We pray, Lord, for similar healing and guidance and comfort and strength for Mark's sister, Ruth. Dear Lord, if it's your will, help her to recover completely from her stroke. Help her to find a place for rehabilitation that is good and suitable for her. Give her comfort and peace of knowing that you're right there with her, and help her in her anxious moments to know that you care and that your presence is always near. Guide and direct her in the days to come as well. Dear Redeemer, Prince of Peace, though you appeared here in lowliness to free us from our sins and to establish peace between us and God, we have your promise that you will also come again in great power to judge all people and to fill your church with eternal glory. We await your coming, your advent, with eagerness and joy. Come quickly to take us to the place in our Father's house which you have prepared for all who love you. Help us to be prepared at all times for your coming. Keep our hearts filled with true repentance and faith. Overcome our doubts. Cast sin from our lives. Keep us from embracing the treasures and sinful pleasures offered by this world. Fill us with true humility, that we may never trust our own works to merit heaven, but rely fully on you to save us. To this end, cause your Holy Spirit to work powerfully in us with your grace through the word and sacrament. Lord Jesus, with the bright hope of your coming, cast the dark shadows of sorrows and cares from our hearts. As we await your advent, help all of us in our individual needs. Increase brotherly love and harmony among us. Hear our prayers as we faithfully cry to you night and day, and deliver us in all of our afflictions. Ask the Heavenly Father on our behalf not to count our sins against us, but to grant us full and free forgiveness for your sake. Because you are the light of the Gentiles, enlighten the hearts of people everywhere with the gospel, calling them to saving faith. Work faith also in the hearts of the people of Israel. Convert all sinners to you, that none be left in spiritual darkness to speak against your holy name. Hear us, gracious Lord, as we pray these things, and as we pray now in your name the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Receive now with believing hearts a blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Today is one of the most famous and familiar Christmas carols, Joy to the World. I invite you to stand for the last verse of this hymn. Sunday and also for Christmas Eve. Following that, the children will have their Christmas Eve practice approximately 11:30. After the service today, I'll be leaving for Hayward at 1 o'clock, and then also we have Southern California worship service at 6:30 this evening. This week on Tuesday, our Board of Education will meet via Zoom at 6 p.m. I realize the calendar incorrectly says 7 for the meeting. The correct time is 6 o'clock for the Board of Ed meeting on Tuesday via Zoom. Wednesday, we'll be having an Advent worship service. We'll gather here in the sanctuary for candlelight carols and scripture reading, and then afterwards we'll gather in fellowship hall for cookie exchange and fellowship time after that service. Please come and join us if you are able on Wednesday night at, I didn't put the time in there, 7 p.m. 7 p.m. It's on the calendar correctly, not in the bulletin correctly. I will get both of them correct maybe next time. Next Sunday, Bible class at 9 a.m., worship service at 10. Choir and children's practice will take place after the service next Sunday. And believe it or not, next Sunday is the last Sunday before Christmas Day. Let's see. Oh, there is a flooring update in the back of the bulletin. We had a visit yesterday with a representative from Peninsula Flooring. We had made the decision to go with that company on the Wednesday meeting. And we did make some plans to have the flooring installed during the week of the winter break at school here, February 20th through 24th. So the entryway, pastor's office, sacristy / admin office, and the fellowship hall will have new flooring in. We're going with the LVT flooring in those rooms. There will be a few volunteer tasks that need to be done between now and the 20th of February. We'll keep you posted. And I have a few things available to do as we prepare for the flooring to be installed by the company. We praise God for giving us the ability and the means to make this project happen. Don't forget about the food and gift donations for the CSA, the boxes in the entryway. Also, as you're thinking of Christmas gifts and maybe gift cards for people in your life, don't forget the fundraising that we can do through RaiseRite and get those gift cards online. A portion that would go to our school. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.